My name is Allison Levin, and we're here today to talk about the history of the bullpen cart. So the idea for this project started when Arizona announced in 2018 they were bringing back the bullpen cart, and my generation rejoiced. But when I stopped to think about it, how much did I really know about the bullpen cart? I know I must have seen games where one was used, but I have absolutely no memory of them. My students were super excited, but they weren't even alive the last time the bullpen cart was used. Yet many of us have this perverse love for the 1970-style bullpen carts and needed to see their return. This nostalgia is mostly in our heads thanks to hugely popular movies like Major League, which came out in 1989, and baseball being in the era of throwback uniforms and promotions. Due to my love of the cart, I wanted to learn the history. As I started researching, I found that they were really not a big deal and mentioned for one or two games, then generally ignored. So there were no texts and pictures that were easy to find. I quickly had to come to terms with the fact that the carts were primarily a cult phenomenon. So what was going to be a simple overview of the rise and fall of the bullpen cart has turned into a much more detailed analysis. It is usually the case in talks like this, due to time constraints, I'll give you a glimpse of what I found. So let's dive in. The Little Red Wagon was a proto cart that was used in the 1950s by the Indians to escort players to the mound. The impetus for the cart was the massive size of the stadium and the need to get players from point A to point B. Although it existed in 1950, it is not considered the first bullpen cart. That honor goes to the Chicago White Sox. Marv Roblat entered by car on June 9, 1951 in a game against the Yankees. The car was the model pictured here, but I've yet to find a picture of it in use. While what may be the most memorable from that game is the Yankees' reaction, which led to what could be described as the first and maybe only bullpen cart feud. As it was reported by the New York Times, when the car passed the Yankees' dugout, all the Yanks came out, led by Casey Stengel, and tipped their cap with mock politeness. The Times called the adoption of the cart by the White Sox Bush League. The next time the Yankees played the Sox in Chicago, not to be shown up, Casey Stengel decided to commission his own bullpen car, a black Cadillac hearse of the type shown here from a Southside funeral home. He explained the Yankees' reluctance to use the regular bullpen vehicle by saying his boys were used to Cadillacs. You can take that at face value or use the more superstitious answer that he gave to the Chicago Tribune, that they had a Cadillac in Cleveland and Allie Reynolds pitched a no-hitter. Nobody ever rode in that cart. These bullpen carts of the 1950s were not a craze, with only the Indians, White Sox, and A's adopting them. In fact, they were completely abandoned by the end of the decade. In 1954, the Bingham Press and News wrote about the White Sox cart saying, "The station wagon was put away for the second game of a doubleheader because of all the stuff that was being thrown at it. Paper cups, newspapers, everything anyone might bring to the ballpark. A stadium official said, we don't want to litter the field." Bullpen transportation starts to spring up again in the 1960s, starting with the Milwaukee Brewers with a Harley-Davidson topper scooter, which was preferred because its light weight meant it could ride directly over the grass to the mound. Lower impact style carts remained favorable into the 1970s. The Angels Angels in 1963 were the first to use a golf cart like what is shown in the picture. And the Braves actually replaced the scooter with this exact cart in 1964. This was the start of what could be called the era of the bullpen cart, which would last until the 1980s. So when did this also familiar bullpen cart come into existence? We just don't know. There is a gap in the literature between teams using these ordinary golf carts and an oversized baseball, complete with bat-shaped supports. When did teams make the leap? We don't know. What we do know is that in 1966, the Angels added a roof with a cap to the top of their cart, but it had no baseball-like shape. We also know that the recognizable baseball design appeared with the Mets in 1967. Were the Mets the first? Did the rest of the league immediately just fall into line with these giant baseball carts once they saw them in action? It seems unthinkable in today's era for there to be a missing link. And yet here we are. Nobody knows. Team historians are stumped. Fans don't know. Even the Hall of Fame lacks documentation. It is a tiny moment in baseball history that has totally been lost to time. What is clear is that following this grand leap in design, the bullpen cart took a spot as a defining feature of 1970s baseball. We actually don't even know how many teams had carts, as reporters simply didn't write stories saying, the pitcher arrived via bullpen cart. And it wasn't a feature of radio and television broadcasts. What we can say is it seems as if most clubs with AstroTurf and or domes use bullpen carts. The typical cart, the one we envision, was an AMF golf cart that featured a baseball-like cab with red stitching to represent the seams, the A-pillars were baseball bats, and the headlights were baseball gloves. The cart's demise started as teams began to experiment widely with design in the late 1970s, and quite simply, baseball changed. The Yankees opted for a Datsun, which was later replaced with a Toyota Celica. Hardly the kind of thing that excites fans. The White Sox added a Chrysler LeBaron, which historian Josh Cohn recalls that nobody ever wanted to use. If the pitcher opted out of using the car, the LeBaron still had to do a full lap around the warning track while the pitching change took place. According to Cohn, the beer shower it received had to be seen to be believed. Just imagine beer pouring out of the upper deck onto this car. So why did carts rise to prominence, and why did players eventually refuse to use them? Carts seem to have become commonplace because of entrepreneurs like Charlie Finley and Bill Veeck. They were into them. They weren't afraid to be showboats. They weren't afraid to be wacky. And the other teams would follow suit because those guys were doing it and they were the cutting edge of entrepreneurship. And it isn't coincidental that the carts die out in the 1970s and 80s, just as players are exercising free agency. The ball players weren't beholden to owners like they used to be. Players were tired of being embarrassed by owners and wanted to be taken seriously. Relief pitchers began thinking, I want respect. I can jog a couple dozen yards. Just as we are seeing players refuse to use the cars and carts, there is one episode that can be pointed to as the absolute breaking point, where the players said, nope, you're not embarrassing us anymore. It was in 1982 when the Mariners introduced this beauty, formerly known as the MS Seattle Relief, and referred to by many simply as the tugboat. As Jerry Krasnick stated, this went from kitsch to catastrophe. All of the reports relief pitchers hated it. In fact, Bill Caudill spoke for all of his teammates and perhaps all relief pitchers when he stole the keys on opening day and left the MS Seattle relief stranded on the field, delaying the start of the game. With a reception like that, it's not surprising the tugboat quickly disappeared. While this was the unofficial end to the bullpen cart, the official end actually came much later, as the Brewers continued to have a Harley-Davidson motorcycle with a sidecar that the pitcher sat in for the ride to the field that remained available through the 1995 season, though it was rarely used. So the question is, were the carts a fad that rightly went the way of the pet rock, as relief pitchers, as a way of loosening up and appearing menacing, began stalking their way in from the bullpen instead of riding in luxury? What we do know is, even with this auspicious end to what I've termed the end of the bullpen cart, for some teams and fans, these 1970s relics still have enough popularity to live on in the public consciousness. The Red Sox cart resides on their concourse and makes public appearances around the Boston area. The Dodgers cart lives near the luxury suites. And the Mets cart sold in 2005 for $112,000. For reference, you could have your own bullpen cart made to the exact same specifications as the Diamondbacks and Nationals carts for a mere $20,000. And it is likely because of this public remembrance that the topic of the bullpen cart returned in the 2000s, when what is old is new again. In this era, throwbacks are all the rage. Fans want to relive the not-so-distant past, one where, thanks to nostalgia, selective memory, or in some cases only having seen glamorized movie and television footage, some fans started clamoring for the return of the bullpen cart. But so much has changed since cars and carts were last used. Teams no longer play in sterile, cavernous, multi-sport saucers. The new stadiums are significantly smaller, so the bullpen is closer to the field and there's less room to store the carts. Further, the majority of teams have moved to grass fields, and as Trevor Hoffman explained, no groundskeeper is ever going to let a cart go across the diamond. As a result, carts don't go to the mound. It's a trip from the bullpen, around the track, to the dugout, then the pitcher has to get out of the cart and jog to the mound. Because of this, many pitchers believe they can steal some warm-up time by actually just running into the game. And perhaps, most importantly, entrance music, prominent since the late 1990s, added an intimidation factor pitchers are reluctant to give up. There is no doubt when the doors opened at Yankee Stadium and everyone heard Enter Sandman, before Mariano Rivera even appeared, dread had to enter the mind of the opposing team and excitement brewed for the Yankee fans. So, what do the players have to think about a potential new bullpen cart era? First, some players think they're good for the pitcher in baseball. These players are definitely in the minority, and they tend to focus on increasing younger fans and excitement around the game. You can see they're talking about advertising, bringing in money for the team, sounds good to conserve energy. And my favorite is, I think, a Billy the Marlin theme, and then having jousting between the bullpen cards. So they're having an all in good fun and think that it would just be fun for baseball. Others are unsure or think it might be awkward to ride in on a cart. These quotes are very dry and sarcastic, so it's likely these players would never actually use a cart and just know how to give a good media quote. But there is some truth to this. this, as we have seen debate about current bullpen carts. Do you sit next to the driver? Do you sit in the back of the car? What's the appropriate etiquette? As you can see, these players are most definitely talking about this idea of, you know, what do you do with the driver? How does this all work? Is it like Uber? Do I tip them? What am I supposed to do? And then finally, there's others, and this is the majority, that are just downright opposed. The comments run to the same few thoughts and themes that I put up here. There's a reason they're not used anymore. There's going to be more pressure if I don't run in. I can calm down. You know, I don't want to lose the momentum I have. Sort of ties into walk-in music and all of that. And just this idea that it's going to change the way they pitch. Despite all this reluctance, on May 5th, 2018, we saw the formal return of the bullpen cart when Astros pitcher Colin McHugh rode out on the Diamondbacks cart. Unlike the carts we have seen before, it has heavy advertising on it, and thus the costs are offset. But to keep the partnership going, it also has to be used, something that we are not really seeing. Despite the hoopla and excitement from a certain bunch of fans, only two other teams have introduced carts, the Tigers and the Nationals, with the Nationals cart being the most popular thanks to Sean Doolittle's absolute love and a need to use that cart. In 2019, we saw no new carts, so it does not seem like the craze is catching on this time. Where cart usage might arguably be growing is in the minors, where we see a need for more entrepreneurship and have always seen more varied promotions, much like Vec and Finley brought it into the majors. Just think Asparagus Night, which the Stockton Ports host every single year. It is possible younger pitchers who get used to riding the cart in the minors will continue to use them in the majors, and these three teams are just a little ahead of the curve. Or perhaps, without the support of current players at the major league level and with isolated fan support, within a few years, as the carts sit unused in the bullpens, the sponsors, not seeing a return on their investment, will end their partnership and bullpen carts will die out again. It's hard to know, but right now anybody using the cart is news, and teams and companies are making money off of giveaways and selling t-shirts that based solely off of nostalgia. And no matter what, as young generations talk about the cart, both positively and negatively, there is one positive. They are talking about baseball. And while I'm answering questions, I'll leave you with this thought. We'll always have Japanese baseball, where glorified golf carts, convertibles, and literal limousines are commonplace, and players ride in to standing ovations. And that's all I got. I'm open to any questions you have. Yes.
Well, just as an aside, I'd like to also note that Trevor Rosenthal used the card.
Okay. Yeah, the Rosenthal, yeah, did not. I might have blocked him out because of his, you know, end of his career at the Cardinals. I might have just blocked him out as a player, and he didn't do so well for the Nats either.
You might just end that sentence with end of his career.
Very true. I did not know he used the card a lot, but Doolittle, you got to admit, loves that thing. Yes.
I think someone in the room, perhaps you, Allison, know this, but the other night, I think one of the pitchers ignored the card.
Mm-hmm.
It was forgotten exactly the circumstances, but I remember seeing it on replay on television.
Yeah, there's been some joking amongst the players that are opposed to it that they will race the cart to the mound, and they firmly believe that they will beat the cart every time. So they call for the cart and then refuse it at the last second, and so the cart has to make that move in, and then they run in and, you know, try to prove that they are faster than the cart. Yeah.
and his son Bird, who just bought a place in Sun City and needs a golf cart for a second car. I think it's a hell of a deal.
$20,000 will get you a very nice bullpen cart. You can get it designed for any team you want. I don't know. You're going to have to probably go and negotiate whether you have enough attention, you know, whether you can drive it in the right places. Yeah.
Looking at the Nissan and the Toyota, the Yankees, I would imagine that there was some money involved in that with the Yankees. But I'm also surprised that there wasn't some hostile fan reaction.
Yeah, there actually was quite a bit. There was that happened in New York, but the most memorable story, which I didn't have time for, was in between the Harley Topper and the Harley motorcycle. There was a huge feud that happened in Milwaukee when they weren't using something that was produced in Wisconsin, and it became a very big controversy, and that's when they ended up going back to the Harley-Davidson motorcycle. That Celica that they used, they actually ended up having to remove because it was so filthy and rats ended up eating through the ignition and it no longer ran. So there was definitely issues with some of those late 70s, early 80s cars. Carl? Oh, sorry.
And the Twins were using a Mustang.
I believe they did as well, yes. You have to find the good videos and use them, and that video was one of my favorites. Yeah, Carl?
High school little baron, John Boyd's used car.
I cannot tell you. I mean, if you would like me to do further research, I can report into you later. Okay. Yeah, did you have a question? No, I saw a hand somewhere, maybe. Are there any more questions? Okay, well, thank you for coming out at this weird time.